Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Dave Weiner here. It is, Tuesday, June 26, 2018. I want to talk a little bit today about Google and HTTP. And I think I finally hit on a way of explaining it in a tweet that helps people focus on what I'm trying to say rather than interpreting it in terms of being opposed to Google. I am opposed to Google, but opposing Google is a result of some greater beliefs that I have, and they're based on experience, so they're actually not really beliefs. So, you know, I have developed for a lot of different kinds of platforms, but most of them have been controlled by corporations. At various different points in their existence, they've been more or less controlled by their corporations. Give you an example. The Apple II, when I first started developing for it, Apple didn't exert a lot of control, and so all kinds of products were developed, and the platform had a lot of limits. It had huge limits. And because of those limits, they couldn't really change what the platform meant without breaking pretty much the entire app base. And so they didn't. And the Apple II was allowed to just sort of go off into the sunset. They did make a few changes, and they were very transparent to the applications. The biggest problem was the limited memory. And it was limited to even less than 64K at first. And then they were able to create some extra space by adding what they called a language card. And in some sense, it actually got up to 128K in some sense, but it wasn't part of the basic address space. And they lived with it. And the IBM PC was kind of the same way. It was a very simple design, and it didn't lend itself to easy evolution, and it more or less, it stopped growing after a certain point in time because it also had a memory limit of 640K, 10 times the size of the Apple II, and eventually software filled up the 640K, and they also came up with ways of expanding the memory, and I was part of the software world very much involved with the crazy things that evolved off of the limits of the PC, but there was a lot of demand for it because the platform was so popular and so much and so valuable in economic terms. So, and it's been that way for, and then, you know, I mean, there comes the Macintosh and OS 2 and Windows and et cetera, et cetera. All the while there's Unix and various flavors of Unix, and things get forked, and there's like all kinds of constraints on those machines. And finally comes the web, and at the time the web comes along, the whole PC world was in complete disarray, just totally controlled by large corporations acting very selfishly, and which is not surprising. I mean, you know, if you work inside of a large company, the company creates this gravity field, and inside of the company, it's everything's about your position in the company, and people outside of the company, it doesn't really matter which company we're talking about. They're all pretty much like this. They're all exactly like this, actually. Anybody outside the company is a third-party developer or a corporate client, or just a problem, a nuisance, is something that it's over there. There's lots of you and only one of me. I've heard that said many, many times by people inside of big corporations. Of course, we all look at the world that way. As an independent developer, I see, you know, when I was trying to develop on Apple's corporate platforms, they had thousands of employees and there was only one me. I mean, there was one time my little company had like four people in it, five people maybe. We had to have a meeting with the the part of Apple that was competing with us, and we went and filled a tiny little corner of the room, and it was filled with people from Apple, and it was hard to imagine how so many people could work on the project that we were working on, and yet our project was much more capable than theirs. I mean, I think objectively speaking, it was. Different realities inside and outside companies. Just leave it at that. Not good or bad, just different. And so the web, however, so we have lots of corporate platforms, always new ones, even things that are supposedly open, like, you know, JavaScript or Node.js. These are the two platforms, you know, JavaScript in the browser and Node.js. These are supposedly open standards, but they're not really. Not as open, not open like the open web is open. And part of being open means you're frozen. You can't change it. It's just like what I was talking about before with the limits that the Apple II had and that the IBM PC had. It's not unprecedented for platforms to freeze. And in fact, they do freeze. They all freeze to some extent because otherwise they cease being a platform. If everything about the platform is subject to change, then you really don't have a platform. That's the whole point of a platform, is it's a thing you can stand on. It's stable. It's not moving. The people on the platform can move, but the platform itself doesn't move. It stays where it is. That's fundamental to the concept of a platform. So the web, 25 years later, and it really is different. It's different from all of the other platforms. We only have one web. And the reason why the web is so different, and I would argue, I don't need to argue about this. That's the whole point. I don't have to argue about the web. My opinion about the web is valid, period. It doesn't matter whether I work for a big company, because the web isn't a corporate thing. It isn't owned by a big company. I don't have to get the attention of a big company to be heard about making software for the web. I can't be deprecated on the web. I don't have to worry about big companies. Because in a lifetime of trying to exist in the ecosystems of big companies, I have to say, I don't ever want to do that again. It is just not workable. I take a long time to develop products. It really just, it works that way. You know, I do big things and it takes me a while. And if the platform is a moving target and they're constantly deprecating things and judging whether or not anybody is doing this and we need to worry about that and we don't need to worry about this, so we can just change that rule because it doesn't seem right to us, or it's too much work, or we can't maintain it, or something happened inside of the company that nobody knows about outside the company, but of course that gravity well thing is, you know, is applying itself. And so the thing, I don't object to HTTPS. People think I need to hear about how HTTPS is great and the problems that exist potentially. And I have to say, they are potential, because we haven't seen any of the results of these problems that Google's talking about. I haven't, at least. I mean, I have priorities in terms of what I want to work on and what I don't want to work on. I don't work that much these days, to be honest with you. So the things that I want to work on are the things that I'm going to work on. I'm not going to do make work. Just because Google said all of your websites have to convert to HTTPS to be okay websites, first of all, I don't have the time to do that. They don't know what my reality is, how many domains I have. I have a lot of domains. What software they're all running on, stuff that I'm not maintaining that does sort of still work. There's a lot of breakage in my web world. And the last thing I would do would be introduce more breakage, because converting to HTTPS, everybody says, oh, it's really easy. No, it's not really easy. There are all kinds of rules that come with converting a site to HTTPS, and my sites break most of them. You know, I mean, once you have HTTPS, you have to, everything you include has to be HTTPS, or the browser won't open it. You'll get all kinds of errors. I would spend years trying to recover from that change, even if I could find all the domains that I'm using and convert them. I'm not going to do it. It's just not going to happen for practical reasons. and also not for philosophical reasons. Because the whole way this thing happened, and I do understand how it happened too, to some extent, it's not been totally transparent. I don't know what the process was like inside Google. I don't know what kind of communication Google had with other tech companies. But I kind of recognize this as like, they don't really have the full picture. They can't have the full picture. I mean, this came out of Silicon Valley. They have their own little world. Silicon Valley has its own gravity. Well, people move around between companies, and so there is sort of a circle that encompasses all of the tech companies in Silicon Valley. I know I spent 30 years there, right? So it's not like the philosophy and the culture of Silicon Valley is new to me. It's not. I knew it before any of the other guys that are there now knew it. And it's their own little culture. And from their point of view, it's no big deal. We'll just convert our sites. But they don't have any idea how big the web is. They may have some numbers that tell them how big the web is, but they've put the blinders on as far as that's concerned. They look at the web as a collection of very large sites, and they're only looking in terms of traffic, not in terms of, you know, diversity and how many different sites there are that don't get much traffic. And the history of this damn thing is amazing because it's been still for 25 years. It's been standing in the same place for 25 years and nobody's been fucking with it. And so there's all this incredible shit all over the place. Nobody knows what it all does. They certainly don't know all that I've been working on this thing for 24 years. I don't know all of what I've done. Keep getting surprised by things that I've done. It's just it's for just my own sites, it's an insurmountable task. And it's like saying, you know, one day we're going to wake up and we're going to get, you know, the road system in the, let's say just the United States, forget about the whole world, just the United States, we're going to take all the roads in the United States and we're going to get rid of the, I don't know how to even describe it, one half of each road is going to disappear. We're just going to throw it away. Now, if you built a house on that side of the road, I don't know. How do you get to the house? It's not my problem. I made this new rule. And because this is my platform and it's a corporate platform, I get to make the rules and you just have to live with them. Well, it can't possibly work. As important and as rich as Google is and their companies that follow them, they are still a very, 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 very small part of the World Wide Web. They don't understand what they're doing, and that is the whole reason why I will never go along with this thing. The process by which they made this decision is the perfect demonstration why this is unacceptable. Go screw around with your own corporate platforms. I don't never criticize you for doing that. I might say, yeah, oh well, you know, I can't go there with you. That happened with me in Dropbox. A couple of years ago, they sent me an email saying, we're going to deprecate our APIs. These are the things you built on. You know, if you want to stay with us, you need to go change the way you're doing things. And I took that as a good moment to exit because I wasn't happy with the way my product was going on the platform, and investing more in it seemed like a waste of effort. I had already solved the problem outside of Dropbox. I didn't need what they did anymore. There had been problems with Dropbox. People were complaining sometimes. I mean, I like the product. I like the company. I really do like the product and company. I use it. but I decided not to be a developer anymore at that point. And I got some more emails from them. They were a little menacing at times because I think they assumed that every developer was going to go with them. And that's okay, too. You know, I understand why they might assume that. But I just chose not to go with them. So that's my stand on Google's attempt. And I do understand that there are other platforms, other browsers that are going there with them. But I tell you what, let me just address that issue too, because people have said, oh, well, Dave is so clueless, he doesn't know that there are other browsers doing this, or maybe all the browsers are doing this. Could be, I don't know. I do know one thing, I'm very confident that if Google weren't doing it, they wouldn't be doing it either. Google is by far the largest factor in the web these days, and it's the reason why they feel they can do this. But they're not the factor. When I said the factor in the web, I don't really mean that. In web browsing, they can blockade the web to a certain extent. By changing their browser, they can impose a blockade on the web. But it isn't right. And you know, I'm getting on in years, and I'm not working as hard as I used to. I'm not as driven by technology goals. I'm thinking about different things. When you get a little older, you start focusing on other things, not only just, you know, what kind of great, cool things you can create. And this is a good time for me to exit. If the web is truly going to be under Google's control, I know for sure I don't want to be part of that. Just the same way I didn't want to go with Dropbox. So there is a fork in the road here. One fork says, go with Google, do what they ask you to do. And I know where that road leads. I'm very confident I know where that road leads. This will not be the last time they throw out an edict and say, here's your hoop you have to jump through. And each hoop is going to be difficult, and things will break when you do it. And, you know, and then, so I just get out at the first one. I'm not even going down that road, okay? The other road, the other fork in the road says, just leave your sites as they are and see what happens. Let them say not secure. And the reason why this little thing, here's the tweet that I've been sending around. It says, what Google's, quote, not secure, unquote, means, colon, here's and double quote, Google tried to take control of the open web and this site said no, double quote. Now, I know that that doesn't necessarily apply to every site. There are, you know, sites, for example, I'm keeping the site for my uncle and my father who are both dead, and I'm maintaining their sites on my servers. There must be other people who have died, and their sites are sitting in some storage on, you know, some hosting service. Somebody's paying the bill somehow. And they're served on HTTP. They're not going to change. So they're not, those, in the case of those people, they're not, that's not what they're saying. They're just saying, hey, there's nobody here to do what Google's telling us to do. And they're not really saying that. It's just, is, you know, that's what not secure means. But Google's choice of words there were really unfortunate and deliberate and designed to make people not want to have them say that about them. It's very political. It's the kind, as I said in the FAQ, it's the kind of thing you expect from a sleazy politician, not from a leading tech company. It's also kind of libelous. It's not the only thing there is to say about my site. I mean, they sent me the email on scripting.com, which happens to be like the blog that started the blogosphere. I mean, it's been long, continuously running since 1994. It's a long time. You know, it's, what is it, 24 years. No mean feat to keep the thing running for 24 years, by the way. Lots of transitions, lots of changes, lots of breakage, lots of fixing breakage. Very little respect coming from them in that email. I felt I was offended because scripting.com predates Google. That's the first reason I was offended. The second reason is without the web, there would be no Google. They're treating their mother in a very... No, I'm not their mother. The web is. Okay, let's be clear about that. I did not beget Google, but the web begat Google for sure. There would have never been a Google if there weren't, it wasn't a web. The problem that Google solved was a problem that the web had. They did it beautifully. We loved Google. You can go read my blog. The early days of Google, we were really in awe of them. We all switched to them right away. They were the best search engine. Search just got better and better. And it changed the web in a very positive way. I wish Google had stayed with that. I've made suggestions over the years of things they could do that would make the open web way, way better and more useful and make it, you know, just a great environment. And those fall on deaf ears. They don't, it's not, they're not listening. I have to listen to them because they're a corporate developer and I'm working on their platform. That's their theory. Well, nobody ever asked me if I wanted to work on their platform. Had they asked me, I would have said no. And that's what I'm saying. No, I will not become a Google developer. Not based, I mean, you know, it would have been conceivable. It might still in the future. I said I would never do it in my blog. Well, never say never. Things are weird. Sometimes, you know, whatever. But they would have to try an awful lot harder at being a good caretaker of a platform and make some commitments and stick to them. And this is the opposite. This is not their platform. They should stay the fuck out of the web. They should use the web like we all do. but stop trying to redefine it and make it theirs. And that's a wholly objectionable, insulting, disgusting. It's everything wrong. It shows that Google has completely lost its mind as far as technology is concerned. They've lost it. They forgot where they came from, and they forgot the values of open technology. And so I won't go there. I'm not going there. I say no, no, no. I'm not doing it. And if they take my site offline, here's how I look at that. I mean, effectively, that it will be eventually. They say, no, it's not on our roadmap. I say, okay, sure. It's not on your roadmap. It could go on your roadmap. It might be in your mind, maybe not on your roadmap. They'll turn my site off at some point. I'm sure of it. I will not go with them. And the fact is that, you know, I'm 63 years old, and I'm not in the best of health. And so I have probably got, at most, another 20 years. At most. And probably not that much, sad to say. At some point, I'm going to die. And at that point, it's all going to go away. My whole, everything that I've created will just disappear. I think it's more interesting to have it disappear while I'm still alive. See what happens. If it has to wait till after I'm dead, then I don't get to see what happens. It's like setting off fireworks. You know, if the fireworks go off when I die, well, where's the fun in that? Let's see what happens. You know, it might make, and I will keep writing, and maybe some new, this is what I kind of hope, maybe some new paths will develop, and in these new paths, we will certainly route around Google. That'll be the basic feature, and we'll route around every other company that goes with Google. And see, I think in a way, they're creating a really big opportunity here. It's the kind of opportunity that begets new webs. And I'm going to say right now, the new web, the next web, if there's a need to do one, if Google doesn't back down, I'm going to say the next web should be 100% compatible with the web that Tim Berners-Lee invented. That's the only rule. The thing is that I don't want any more than that. That's enough for me. It was an incredible thing. It wasn't Tim Berners-Lee that did it. He got the ball rolling. But what happened was, there was a total need for what he created, and it just sucked up all the energy out of the tech world that had been killed by all the corporations. We were all dying. Wired misunderstood me. I once said that I was a dead software developer before the web. I meant all software developers were dead, not just me. The whole thing was dead. I mean, it was like they thought, oh, it's Dave that was dead. No. Everything was dead, and we're going there again. This is what this is going to do. This is what's happening. The fact that so many developers just nod their head and go, yeah, that's the right thing to do. Well, that's like people, that's just ridiculous. And that means there'll be a few of us, and that's all we need. And those are really the people I want to talk to anyway. So, anyway, I've talked long enough. Thank you. If you made it this far, thanks so much for listening. My blog is scripting.com, and you can totally still access it, so go have a read. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.